Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our devotional studies based on the Gospel of John. And I certainly hope that these studies based on the Gospel of John have and will continue to be a blessing to you. And I want to remind the listeners that the studies in the Gospel of John and all the studies throughout the years we've been on the Pastor's Study are available on CD. So just drop me a line at the address at the end of the broadcast. Tell me which study you'd like, or studies, and I'll get it right out to you. Also, I have a catalog that lists all the studies that have been aired over the Pastor's Study, and that's absolutely free. If you'd like the catalog with the listing of the studies, again, drop me a line at the end of the broadcast, and I'll get it right out to you. So before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God. The great God that you are, we thank you for your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on that cruel cross, shed his precious blood, so that our sins, past, present, and future, could be forgiven. Payment could be made. A home in heaven could be secured. Father, we pray our studies today would be an encouragement and blessing to the saint of God listening today, that it would build them up in the faith, help them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if there be a lost soul today listening that doesn't know where they're going to go when they die, Father, that this would be the very day that they would place their faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. And Father, with the angels in heaven, we'll rejoice over one sinner that repenteth this day. Father, we commit this time into thy hand, asking that you have your will in your way in our hearts and minds this very day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To start off today, let's go to John chapter 16, and we'll look at verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he," referring to the Holy Ghost, "when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come." The Holy Spirit is God's signal light within our heart. We are to obey the Holy Spirit, to move at his bidding and to stop at his bidding. The Holy Spirit abides in the believer's heart to always give us the right signal. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." In our text, we are told that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Therefore, we have no reason to doubt and no reason not to obey. Amen. There are three things about the guiding Holy Spirit that will make up our first lesson today. First of all, the first thing I want us to see, the people he guides. The people the Holy Spirit guides. Again, we read, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." The first requirement, above all other things, is that the Holy Spirit guides only those who have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, and he will come in to dwell in their heart and life. The immediate possession of the Holy Spirit at the very moment that a sinner trusts Christ is one of the great Bible truths. The sad truth is that the Holy Spirit does not guide all Christians, because some will never let him. You see, he guides the faithful. He guides the faithful. The Bible has so much to say about faithful people. Jesus commended the faithful servant. Paul always wrote about those who were faithful. When people are unfaithful, they cut themselves away from the guiding power of the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit guides the faithful. The Holy Spirit also guides the fearless. He guides the fearless. This doesn't mean that God doesn't help those who are afraid and tremble. But the Holy Spirit does guide those who will step out with holy boldness for the Lord. The great example of this is found in Acts, when those men and women, filled with the Spirit, took a firm stand for the Lord. Also, the Holy Spirit guides the fruitful. He guides the fruitful. That person that has a compassion for souls and seeks to win the lost will find the guiding Holy Spirit leading and directing them to that one that is lost. In fact, our text we began with said, "He will guide you." How blessed is that life that is led by the Holy Spirit of God. So that first thing I wanted you to see is the people the Holy Spirit guides. The second thing is the path he guides, the path the Holy Spirit guides. Our text says, "He will guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. How endless are the ways in which the Holy Spirit guides those who desire to be guided. First of all, he guides by the book. He guides by the book. The Bible is Holy Spirit inspired, and he will never guide us contrary to the Word of God. He guides by the barriers. He guides by the barriers. Certain things may be placed before you to keep you from going in a way that you personally want to take. Paul's experience is a good example of this in Acts chapter 16. The Holy Spirit intervened on two different occasions to keep them from going to the places they had determined to go. In your life, there may come barriers so that you cannot do the things you personally want to do. Do not fret about these handicaps, but simply look unto the Lord with complete trust and faith, knowing, yes, knowing that God has given you guidance by the Holy Spirit. And then, the Holy Spirit guides by the blessings. The Holy Spirit, he guides by the blessings. We can know that God is well pleased with us when his blessings are upon what we do. Every blessing comes from God, and we should be grateful for them. They should guide us into the paths of service. The path is there, my dear friend. Are we letting him guide us into his path? The third thing I want us to see is the purpose he guides, the purpose the Holy Spirit guides. Again, in our text, we read, "And he will shew you things to come." And he will shew you things to come. You see, God never guides without a purpose. When he sent the Holy Spirit into the world to abide in our hearts, he had a definite purpose in mind. First, he guides to enlighten sovereignty. He guides to enlighten sovereignty. The Holy Spirit's great work is to bring glory unto Jesus Christ, the Son, and unto God the Father. This can only be done through Spirit-filled men and women who show forth to the world what the grace of God can do. That's right. He guides to enrich the saints. He guides to enrich the saints. The blessed Holy Spirit dwells within and guides us, just to remind us of all that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells within our heart to guide and to reveal us the things that God wants us to know. If we would meditate on this a little while, we would realize just how rich we are. And then the Holy Spirit, he guides to empower soul winning. He guides to empower soul winning. The all-important task of every Christian is to win souls. But we are doomed to failure if we try to witness without the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Are we letting the Holy Spirit guide our life completely? If not, then we are rebelling against the purpose of God. Before we move on to our next lesson, let me leave you with this thought. Take this thought away from our lesson. The guiding Holy Spirit. There is a verse in one of the great invitation songs that goes like this: "Let him have his way with thee." My dear friend, are you really letting the Holy Spirit have his way with you? Is your life really possessed with his power? Now, let's turn our attention. Again, we're still in John chapter 16. I want us to read together verses 16 through 20. John chapter 16, verses 16 through 20. Jesus says in verse 16, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us, a little while, ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father?" They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Jesus had revealed to the disciples the coming of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit at his coming. Jesus said, And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus then told the disciples that he had many other things to tell them, but they could not bear them now. Howbeit, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Then beginning with verse 16, Jesus revealed to them an important truth that the following verses say they could not understand. Jesus perceived that they did not understand the message. Therefore, he went on to tell them the day would come when heaven will be a reality and sorrow will be turned into joy. Heaven is not far away, my dear friend. It is almost in sight. The only hope for this confused, disturbed, distressed world is for Jesus to come. But the authority of the Bible, by the authority of the Bible, we know that it will be soon. Amen. Praise God for that. There are three truths Jesus revealed about heaven that I want to show you today. The first one is the measure of heaven. The measure of heaven. In verse 16 again, Jesus said, A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Jesus used the term, a little while. He told the disciples that when he went away, it would only be a little while until he would come again. To the Christian, it has seemingly been a long time, but actually it's been less than 2,000 years since Jesus departed from Mount Olivet. In God's time, and compared with eternity, it has been just a little while, amen? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You see, God is working out his divine plan in this world. His mercy and love is long-suffering. And he's not willing that any should perish. Yet God's program is almost over, and heaven is almost in sight. Every sign Jesus told us to beware of is being fulfilled before our eyes. The unrest in the world, the moral situation, and the godless religion is all a sign. According to the word of our Lord, heaven is almost in sight. In Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, verse 28, the Bible says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now, the second truth that I want us to see from our passage is the mystery of heaven. The mystery of heaven. In verse 18, we read this. "They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith." You see, these were strange words to a group of disciples who expected Jesus to set up a kingdom on the earth at that time and to put down the Roman rule. The mother of James and John came to Jesus and requested that her sons be made to sit, the one on the right and the other on the left, in the kingdom. Jesus told her that she was blinded to the real truth. Amen. Now, Jesus tells them about his going away for a little while and then coming again. But they said, "What is this that he saith?" The reality of heaven, the second coming of our Lord, the blessed hope of his glorious appearing are all strange words to this world that is nestled in sin. Amen. The Apostle Peter said that in these last days would come scoffers, making mockery of the second coming of Jesus. Whatever man has to say about it, or whatever his feeling may be toward the second coming, it will not change God's program. Amen to that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, we read this. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Amen. That's what we have to look forward to. That's the next prophetic event on God's calendar, Christian. Oh, what a glorious day that will be when Jesus Christ himself comes for us. And we'll meet them in the air. And those in the grave, amen, that have died, that have gone before us, who have died physically in the bodies in the grave, that will not prevent them. They will come up first. Amen. And those who have seen corruption, their bodies have seen corruption, have been corrupted, amen, will put on incorruption. And we which are alive and remain, who are mortal, will put on immortality. Amen. The third truth I want us to see is this. From our text, from our passage in verse 20, the meaning of heaven. The meaning of heaven. Jesus said to his disciples in verse 20, John chapter 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Jesus, realizing that this was too great a mystery for these perplexed disciples to understand, he brought the whole message to a simple conclusion. He said, "As long as you remain in this world, you will have sorrow. The world will rejoice, dance, drink, and make merry, but ye shall have sorrow." Then Jesus said, "The day will come that I have spoken about when your sorrow shall be turned to joy." I don't know about you, my dear friends, but I'm looking forward to that day. Remember what Job said, "Man born of woman is full of trouble." in few years. A life on this earth, in other words, is full of trouble. A life is a short life. A time on this earth compared to eternity is a short period of time. And it's full of trouble, full of sorrow. But someday, yes, someday, very soon, Jesus Christ said that our sorrow be turned into joy. Amen. In fact, the psalmist said, he said this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The thought of heaven does strain our finite mind. We can't understand how it will be. And the things about this place, called heaven, are a mystery to us. Yet, there is one thing we can understand about heaven, and that is that our sorrow will be turned to joy. Yes, it will be. There will be the joy of seeing our Savior face to face. There will be the joy of seeing our loved ones who have gone on before. Oh, there will be the joy of seeing the saints of all ages. And yes, as Jesus has promised, there will be the joy of no sorrow. That's right. No sorrow. No tears. My dear friend, how many tears have you shed in this life over your trials and your troubles that you've gone through? Well, when you get up there, there will be no more tears. Not only that, no more pain, no pain. How are you listening today? Like myself, have some kind of ache or pain in your body, some more severe than others. Well, guess what? No pain, no death. Amen. The morticians will be put out of business. Amen to that. You see, you and I, saint of God, we can be sure that heaven, yes, heaven, will be worth it all. Heaven, yes, heaven, almost in sight, is it not? If this should be the day that our Lord comes, and our faith is turned to sight, would you be ready? Amen. Would you be ready? Amen. Would you be excited? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I have fought a good fight, finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Will he give you that crown? Will you receive that crown because you love his appearing? Are you ready? Saint of God, are you ready? Ready to meet Jesus? Sinner, amen. Are you ready to accept Jesus Christ right now, trusting in only his shed blood to save you and nothing else, to pay for your sins, past, present, and future, and secure your home in heaven? Won't you believe in that shed blood? Trust in only that shed blood and nothing else to save you. Won't you come right now? Well, my dear friends, we've run out of time again on the Pastor's Study. Brother Gino Cassieri, I want to thank each and every one of you today for listening to me on the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.